Ali, I wanted to ask you almost as like my final question, but something that you just touched on now about the ways in which, like, I think it's understandable for, you know, like some of the royal family to look at this and to be like, oh, this is just kind of like silly internet nonsense. You know, there are always kind of crazy people online. They always say crazy stuff. And the best way to deal with them, because, you know, it wasn't that long ago, whereas like the best way to deal with like online stuff is to ignore it. But like my observation on all this, and also after reading your piece, was really like that the structure of the internet has changed so much where the like ignoring it seems to just make like can seem seemingly make things worse. And it's not to say that engaging with it makes it any better, but it's like you don't really have a good solution. And part of that may have to do with the fact that, like, you know, the sort of stuff that would have just been relegated to like online phenomena or stuff that may be covered in like, you know, very highly online blogs, like subcultural blogs and stuff, are kind of like the business models of many newspapers and the business models of many media outlets that cover the royals and, you know, for whom like royal content really does provide a lot in terms of advertising revenue and clicks and views and so on, is very much dependent on this type of ecosystem. And so it makes sense that, like, even as these kind of rumors and speculations about where Kate was at this time and like some of that kind of veering towards the conspiratorial territory, I mean, like, one aspect of the piece that you worked on, I was really surprised by this. I didn't know, but like it sort of gotten into QAnon territory, right? It's something to do with like Obama visiting the UK and like something to do with that. It was like all of it was very, very strange. But it's all to say that it evolves very quickly. It like goes into like multiple, like because we are all sort of using the same platforms, it goes into different pockets of those same platforms that everyone can see. And it becomes a matter of time before like a fairly like well-known newspaper that also relies on views and clicks, like, ends up sort of, you know, engaging or at least cribbing some of that material, you know, just to kind of like keep their copy going. And so as a result, like it kind of feels that in the future, or at least in like cases like this, ignoring what happens online may not be like the best solution. But at the same time, this like ordeal has also shown that, you know, I do wonder whether like Kate announcing that, yes, I have cancer and I'm undergoing treatment is such a kind of, you know, it is such a sort of like heartbreaking moment in some degree, but it's also such a, like, I don't know if damning's the right word, but it's such a sort of like, I mean, we'll go with like a heartbreaking moment, but there's not really anything you can kind of meme with that, right? There's no way you can sort of continue everything. It has to stop at that point because the news is so tragic.
Yeah, but it was like checkmate. It was like checkmate, bitches. Like, here we go.
Right, but unless you have something like that, like even engaging with what happens online at that point can be a futile activity. And I wondered what your thoughts were on that, because you've covered digital culture for a very long time, and you've also covered it during a period where, you know, we went from kind of like stuff that happens online not being taken seriously and therefore, you know, you should ignore it because only like, you know, the blogs cover that stuff, to it now being so intrinsic into media infrastructure that people who like in institutions that would never sort of engage with that and always had these like particular systems of communication and interaction and who gets the information and how that is circulated now have to sort of engage with this system that is far more chaotic, far more brutal, but also a lot more unpredictable as well.
Well, I think that the unpredictable and uncontrollable nature of it is in some ways what eventually makes it necessary to address it, because you know, as reporters, people who just keep an eye on pop culture and then cover it, there is always a critical mass that something can reach online where it becomes something you have to write about. It's not always obvious what that line is. But if something keeps going and keeps building and more people keep talking about it enough online, you're going to reach a point where people who are just trying to stay relevant with pop culture. So here I'm talking about your talk shows, like your Good Morning Britain, your The View in the United States. There's going to come a time when they're just going to mention it because it's what everyone is talking about. And then that becomes its own thing. If you can't ignore something the entire internet is talking about because it's news in and of itself. And when it reaches that level, I mean, you can try to ignore something and sometimes it'll stay under the radar. But we saw this in this situation. We saw what happens when you do not control the narrative and when you let this information void get bigger and bigger. You referenced this at the beginning of the show. There have been rumors of Prince William cheating on Kate since 2019. there was like a whole sort of pseudo media cycle where no one was saying it out loud, but it was kind of hush hush. And the way the stories were being reported made it clear if you read between the lines. That was all going on in 2019. And if you follow the royal family, like, you were well aware of that. You knew that was going on a lot. No one, it seemed, this was surprising for me and other people who, you know, follow the royals pretty closely. No one had really heard about the affair rumor in the mainstream media until these past few weeks. So that, I think, is a great example of something that at a certain level, the royal family could ignore. When it was just people on Twitter getting Prince William affair to trend a few times a year and everyone talk about that, that's ignorable. Even if a few news outlets write up, like, who is Rose Hanbury, the woman he allegedly cheated on Kate with, you know, that's something you can ignore. But if there's a fierce desire for information, and there's a huge information void, people are going to rush to fill that. And that's where you see things that you once could have ignored no longer be ignorable. So, and a great example of this, we have not, we being the world, have not heard anything from Prince William's alleged affair partner until this past week. Like, she got her lawyers involved. She's given statements to media outlets. She gave, I got her lawyers to go on the record with me for a story that's been spiked until a later time because of Kate's diagnosis. But, you know, they finally had to address that. And I don't think they ever wanted to address that. But when this situation happened, it was like, crap, we ignore this. We can't ignore this anymore. And I think so there will always be that level. If you are unlucky, if you lose control, there will be a level where everything you've tried to control will come back to bite you. So I think that that's a key part of all of this, that the consequences for not dealing with something at the time can be way worse, because the little bit of media coverage they got in 2019 is absolutely nothing. I mean, Stephen Colbert, host of The Late Show, mentioned the affair in his monologue on March the 12th. And hilariously, The Guardian does a write-up every night of what The Late Show monologue said. And they mentioned her name in the very first version of the story, and then her name went away. And then the embedded video of the monologue went away. So people have some feelings about this being reported in the UK. Beside the point, you can't, the royal family has always had a one-sided relationship with social media. Like I said, in the beginning of this, like they've used it as press releases. The most I can remember them ever sort of winking at an online meme was after the do you remember the pictures were everywhere during the fly pass during the Queen's Jubilee celebrations? Prince Louis had his hands on his ears and he was making all of these faces. It became a meme. So at the end of the Jubilee, they made some wink wink nudge post about how cute Louis was, or how Louis's under, like, Louis behaving better now. That's the only time I've ever seen them respond to something viral online. And that's not really, you know, that makes them look good, but it's also not, I don't think that counts as responding to something 100%. So never complain, never explain is sort of the unofficial motto of the royal family in terms of dealing with the press. I don't think that works in a digital age anymore, just because at a certain level, you're going to reach a QAnon status. And I've heard this referred to, the whole Kate Middleton thing, as QAnon for wine moms, which is seems like a pretty accurate description, because, my Lord, some of the rabbit holes that these people went down were absolutely bonkers. I had fun. I wrote a story for New York Magazine looking at one of the theories that the photo was taken in November. But and I'm so glad he gave me quotes. I got the founder of Bellingcat to go on the record with me about like some of the photo conspiracies. And he gave me some fire quotes. It was really great. But, you know, one of the things he said was, we're going to reach a point where Kate could pose holding a newspaper in front of her and people would still think the video is AI generated. And you got to step in before we get to that point. I think the cancer video announcement, we're even seeing that didn't finish everything, because there, if you search Kate Middleton AI on TikTok, you're going to see a whole lot of things. You're also going to see a whole lot of things on TikTok. But that's now gotten back to the level where it's pretty much just crazies, except for a few people who are still convinced that like the farm video was fake. And God bless them. Many of them are just tweeting through it. And I think that's great for me to watch and laugh at. But we're going to see the royal family take a different approach to social media. They've been taking behind the scenes approaches. So I'm not sure if you saw this. This was a few weeks ago, but there was a time, I think it was last year, when rumors about Prince William being fond of a particular sex act were trending on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And Ryanair weighed in a way that they could not get in legal trouble for. But here, oh yeah, there's a chat. Let me just show it to you. It'll make more sense if I just show it to you.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I literally cannot imagine how Ryanair would have waded in into this.
Here we go. Oh yeah, so this was 2022.
Hi, it's Devin, the editor. So we're aware that this is an audio medium. The tweet in question is from Ryanair. It is an image of three airplane-style seats all in a row. All of the armrests are at their usual horizontal position, except for one of them, which is raised, pointing upwards at a slight angle here. The tweet says, "William, we saved you a seat." This was posted during the midst of a series of rumors about Prince William liking being pegged. So I guess the implication here is that Prince William would put this seat arm up his asshole.
I don't get it.
He likes pegging. If he likes pegging.
I know. I knew that, but I don't.
It's very weak. It's weak passer. It's weak passer. Like,
but like, why is that a reference to his alleged fondness for pegging? I
think because the seat arm, he would want to put the seat arm in a certain place.
Oh,
don't overthink it. Don't overthink it. Just
yeah. Know. I mean that was how I interpreted it. But we found out thanks to an interview with a guy who ran Ryanair's social media, and this came out in February. The palace called them over that. The palace called them over that tweet and said, either you delete it or we're going to need a full apology from you, like right now, that you have to tweet for daring to tweet something about the future King William. And they were like, all right, we'll delete it then. But so we know the palace pays attention to social media, and they try to control it behind the scenes. But again, there will always be a level where ignoring it becomes irresponsible, and what's more, ignoring it becomes bad for your brand.
Yeah,
where we were at now in terms of the Kate thing, people, all of their other strategies had failed. Also, she seems like a really great person. The editor in charge of The Sun, she seems like a real peach of a lady. But anyway, she was being interviewed on the BBC, and someone asked her about the video. And she said, oh, no, Kensington Palace knew we were going to post this video. We were in conversation with them, which, again, is so hypocritical because they shut down paparazzi style images the week before. But that's how they normally handle things, working with the media in a way that can't really be blamed on them, letting this video come out, thinking that it would shut down all of the discussion. But the conspiracy theory talk was too powerful by then. So all of the ways that they would normally try to shut this thing down, they couldn't. So they had to do sort of a social media approach in the end, because I mean, it ran on TV everywhere. Like, even American networks stopped to run the video, but most people saw the news from clicking on social media and seeing the social media video. So they had to take an active social media role in resolving this thing. And I think we're going to see in the future a lot more intervention in interesting ways. I mean, if you think about someone who is a master of this and someone who definitely not only pays attention to social media, but reacts to it quickly, it's Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. There was during the Grammys, there was some thing where like Celine Dion gave her the award and Taylor didn't thank Celine Dion or give her a hug. And people started getting mad about that on Twitter. Literally within 5 minutes, Taylor Swift tweets out a photo of her hugging Celine Dion backstage. Like, that is quick. That is quick press turnaround. I don't think we're going to see something that quick from the royal family, but they're not going to let things get this out of control again.